Is it government accountability or just picking on federal executives? Leaders of the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee would argue it's the former. The panel has approved a bill to make it easier to fire or discipline members of the senior executive service. Jenny Mattingly is Director of Government Affairs at the law firm Shaw, Bransford & Roth. She lobbies for the Senior Executives Association, and she joins us now. Hi, Jenny.
Good morning.
So, Jenny, go for the major provisions of this bill. It's H.R. 5169. What would it do?
That's right. You know, it's actually a pretty broad bill. It's got quite a few provisions in it. One of the things that it would do is extend the probationary period for senior executives, which is currently 1 year, extend that to 2 years. It also has, I'll just hit the highlights here, it also has a provision creating a section called mandatory leave. And what that would do is if an agency had somebody under investigation or a notice of proposed removal, it would allow the agency to ask the employee to leave the office, so not in a duty status, but the employee would be using their annual leave during the time they were not in the office under that notice of proposed removal. It also changes the notice period from 30 to 15 days and adds a standard which is for general schedule employees, but not in the SES standards right now, called efficiency of the service. When looking at ways to take actions, adverse actions against senior executives, right now it's misconduct, neglect of duty, malfeasance.
Can you explain that last one a little bit? I mean, what sort of situation might that lead to where somebody said this is for efficiency of the organization?
You know, it's a pretty broad standard. I think that's one of the fears that SEA has is that it really could be used, especially by a political appointee. Most of senior executives, their bosses are often political appointees. And so adding in a broader standard, especially when combined with another provision I didn't mention in there, which is a 1 to 14 day suspension. Currently, senior executives can only be suspended for more than 14 days. That 1 to 14 day suspension, along with the sufficiency of the service, allows a politicization that is really troubling, because the 1 to 14 day suspension, the reason that wasn't in there for senior executives, although it is for general schedule employees, is because there is no third party review of those adverse actions at that level.
So if you take the year of probation and extend it to 2 years, plus shorten the time of notice when someone is going to be suspended or somehow disciplined, that makes the whole thing pretty precarious sounding.
Does. And that's the fear, again, is when your direct boss is a political appointee. And I'm not saying that, you know, somebody's coming into this with nefarious reasons to go against a senior executive, but that possibility is out there of really wanting to, you know, make life difficult for the senior executive. It allows, it's sort of the same issue we've raised with the at-will employment status for senior executives. And, you know, there's a reason that those barriers were in there, enshrined in the Pendleton Act, to ensure that they weren't politically motivated actions against career civil service.
Jenny, explain that a little bit. I mean, you mentioned that this would strip senior executives of much of their ability to seek a review of actions against them. What sort of review rights do they have now, and what specifically could change?
Well, so in a greater than more than 14-day suspension that has appeal rights to it, 1 to 14 days, that's just an administrative action by the agency.
And
it wouldn't go to the MSPB or anything else. So there's nobody to say, hey, wait a minute, that, you know, you may not be using this in the best way.
Okay, so right now they do have the ability to go to the Merit Systems Protection Board, but if that there was that shorter suspension, it would basically be saying, you know, let me talk to my boss and hope they change their minds about this.
Right. That's my understanding. There's a chance to respond to the charges and to the suspension, but there isn't anybody, a higher up, I guess, review, if you want to call it that. You know, just looking over your shoulder, making sure that that's an actual, you've got a reasonable reason to take those actions.
So it's, aside from the VA, where you had some serious problems, I guess, with senior executive service members, is there... It sounds like, I mean, is your sense that Congress feels like this needs to apply across the entire bureaucracy because of some fundamental issue?
You know, it was interesting because that's a great question, actually, and there was an interesting conversation at the hearing at the markup yesterday that I thought was really thoughtful consideration on the part of Ranking Member Cummings and Congressman Lynch, they both raised the issues that, you know, there was a lot of talk during the markup of Lois Lerner, Jeff Neely, you know, sort of the big names we've heard from the scandals who happen to also be senior executives. And one of the points that they kept bringing up, and I think it was Ranking Member Cummings said this, is, you know, it sounds an awful lot like we're passing a bill based off of one person. And he said, I want to be very careful that when we do legislation, it's not because of one high-profile case for one person, because we're affecting an entire class of employees here. You know, so I think there is starting to be some concern that some of these maybe, and this has been SEA's concern, is that are these policies in response to quote-unquote scandals, or are they in response to actual policy needs? And we really, SEA really felt that this bill was a bit unnecessary, that the tools are in place to hold people accountable. It's just a matter of using them appropriately.
We're speaking with Jenny Mattingly. She's Director of Government Affairs at Shaw, Bransford & Roth, the law firm. And let's talk about a couple of the other bills that were approved yesterday by the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee. There's one aimed at keeping records.
Yeah, you know, that's an interesting one. And there's a whole section in the U.S. Code and, you know, the Government Records Act that's out there already. It's been around for many, many years, that requires agencies and also, you know, Executive Office of the President to keep their records and maintain them. And, you know, there's a system of getting records to the National Archives, preserving them, because these are public documents. And records include, in this day and age, emails, probably instant messages. So things are done on your government computer in the function of your job duties. So this bill would create a few more protections and a few more in terms of protecting those records and in terms of ensuring they're done electronically and capturing all of that for both the president, the vice president, their office, and also federal employees. You know, I think much like we just talked about with the SES bill, this one has a little bit to do with the Lois Lerner email issue that we've all been hearing about recently.
And how so? I mean, how might it have influenced that situation if that were to happen after this bill, you know, was passed?
Right. You know, I think one is sort of really strengthening congressional intent on ensuring that all emails and all other sorts of communications, whether it's through your BlackBerry, through an instant messaging program at your office, that all of those are kept. It also has penalties in terms of federal employees for removal, if termination, if you are willfully, and I do give the committee that they really made a point of saying this, that if you willfully you have malicious intent in destroying emails, then you're going to be punished.
And is that not the law now? Because it would seem to me that, you know, if you catch somebody who is setting fire to important documents, that that is, if not against the law, certainly against a good office policy.
Yeah, you know, and that's one of the points that we've made already, because claims have been at a couple of these different sort of, you know, IRS, VA, that there was destruction of records out there. And that's already a criminally prosecutable offense under the Federal Records Management Act. So, you know, so it's one of those, I think, again, where Congress is trying to make a point here on some of these issues and say we really want to give agencies all the tools and all the flexibilities to remove people and know they should remove people in these situations.
And I guess you could say at the IRS, you know, maybe there was willful destruction, we don't know, of hard drives.
Absolutely.
Or they were destroyed, whether it was willful or but there's also seems to be a neglect in terms of backup policy, because, you know, you're not talking about your own computer at home. You're talking about a federal record, and presumably all these systems are backed up and backups stored off-site. You know, there's a lot of good practices that apply to enterprise-grade records. So is it the sense of, you know, the senior executives and of you that maybe this goes this far because there seemed to be a double problem at IRS?
Well, and they, you know, and it wasn't just IRS, and they added a couple amendments in the markup yesterday that would strengthen sort of those backup protections and require agencies to really have a strong IT management record system in place, because they felt like there is still a lot of paper-based, potentially not everything's being captured immediately electronically, and so they really wanted to see some sort of movement to that. And, you know, from a good government standpoint, it's always a good idea to have backups, to have a very comprehensive strategy in place of how you're going to follow and comply with the law. So some of what they did seems to be, it was bipartisan. It seems to address some issues that probably do need to be thought out a little bit better in terms of comprehensive strategy.
And Jenny, considering the tenor of the debates over these bills yesterday at the committee hearing, how would you handicap either there's chances of passage and actually becoming law?
I certainly think the records bill probably had broad bipartisan support on the committee. There didn't seem to be any agreement or disagreement on that bill. So I suspect that one's going to move forward very quickly. They did, for the SES bill, they did raise some very big issues about due process, and the minority really pushed the majority to work with them to address those before it ever goes to the floor. So I suspect that one we're not going to see for a while, especially with August recess coming up. You know, there's some really serious concerns that need to be worked out with that bill, and so I think there is general agreement that they're going to work on those.
And with regards to that bill, I mean, we know that the House has already passed something similar that is specifically about senior executives who work in the Veterans Affairs Department. How would this one, other than being government-wide, how would this one differ?
Well, the one that they already passed, the House passed H.R. 4031, which allows an agency head, specifically the Secretary at the Veterans Affairs Department, to fire a senior executive for what the Secretary believes is unacceptable performance. So, you know, basically puts them in an at-will status. This bill that we're talking about that was marked up yesterday in the House committee, it's got some due process protections in it, and it's still working within the framework of Title V. It's not quite this broad, you can fire somebody for any reason. And it still has appeal rights, aside from the 1 to 14 day suspension, but that's not termination. It's still, you know, it keeps sort of appeal rights and the basic framework of Title V in there. It just eases a lot of flexibilities and sort of opens the door to what could be some political actions against senior executives.
All right, we'll keep watching. Jenny Mattingly is Director of Government Affairs at the law firm Shaw, Bransford & Roth. Jenny, thank you.
Thank you.